I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Full time, and Atlanta United remains unbeaten in the 2020 preseason. Three wins, no losses, and a draw. A late winner by Matheus Pozzetto, giving Atlanta United the 3-2 win over Birmingham Legion. And now it's prayers up for George Bello.
For those of you watching on the stream, you can listen to the full-time report, our post-game coverage on 92.9 The Game. You can listen on the radio.com app or at radio.com. We'll be on for an hour, and if we have an update on George Bello, we'll provide it there.
Meanwhile, you saw the Atlanta United first choice completely dominate the match in the first half. Things got a little ragged, a little uneven in the second half, but Matheus Pozzetto gave us a clue of what we're going to see in 2020 with that match winner in stoppage time.
First team looked good. They created chances. They get the goal to show for it at the end of the half. Then the second team came in with a lot of energy, played very intelligently, a little up and down as you would expect, but they fight through and end up getting the win.
For those of you watching on ATLUTD.com/live, we will see you Tuesday night at 9 o'clock in Guadalajara. Jason and I will bring that to you. Atlanta United and Leonis Negros. For those of you listening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, don't go anywhere. We have plenty more coverage to come. 3-2 Atlanta United over Birmingham Legion on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Atlanta.
Is Atlanta.
And this is the home for our Atlanta United.
Back with more action on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, for a preseason friendly, we had a lot really happen today. A good performance by Atlanta United's first unit. A goal by Barco late in the first half, the product of quite a bit of effort and buildup. And then a wild second half played between the Atlanta United and Birmingham Legion reserves, but it was a non-reserve Matheus Pozzetto with a moment of individual brilliance in stoppage time to salvage a 3-2 win for Atlanta United, who remain unbeaten in preseason play. What's the bigger headline for you, that or the apparent serious injury to George Bello?
It has to be Bello, because we just don't know anything just yet, and hopefully we'll get an update before we're done. If not, make sure you're following ATLUTD on all social media channels. Make sure you're following us, Mike Conti 929, Longshoe. We'll give you anything we find out here. That's got to, you know, shade this one a little bit. But let's put that to the side for now and talk about the performance, because it was a very good one. It was a very composed one, and it was a match where Atlanta United had control. Could they have been better at times? Yes, absolutely. It's preseason, and it showed. But you see the ideas that I think this team is going to play under. It's going to be incredibly fluid. It's going to be a group that can interchange positions on the fly. And I thought the decision-making today was very, very good in terms of when to press, when to drop, how to press. I thought everything was good in that regard. You want to see, at times, players be a little more decisive, and you want to see that confidence continue to grow, but it's early.
Okay, so Atlanta United, as mentioned, 3-0-1 in the preseason with one more friendly to play Tuesday night in Guadalajara against Leonis Negros, and that will be streamed on ATLUTD.com. Birmingham Legion, just in the very early days of their training camp, dropped to 0-1-0 on their preseason schedule. The full-time report is coming up next. It's what we always do. We'll take your questions and your comments on Twitter. Tweet us at Mike Conti 929 and at Longshoe. We will have highlights, the stats, and a full rundown of what we saw today in Birmingham. A lot of encouraging signs for Atlanta United. 3-2 winners over Birmingham Legion on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Time for a look back on today's match. This is the full-time report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. The home for MLS in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, time to start the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's preseason for us, too, but that's okay.
Hey, it's all good.
3-2 Atlanta United over Birmingham Legion on an eventful day here at BBVA Stadium. Hundreds, if not thousands, of the Atlanta United supporters remain in the park. I just have to say, the supporters who made the trip on a snowy day from Atlanta to Birmingham, they did a great job. I mean, this was a preseason friendly where Atlanta United was trying not to leave here without 3 points. And I thought the supporters really pushed them in stoppage time, leading to that Joseto goal.
Yeah, it was huge. Because after the Bello injury, you're going to have a letdown. You're going to be flat because you're worried about your teammate. It's completely understandable. But you saw after Birmingham found a goal that you started to get more noise. You started to get those supporters bringing it up and getting this team kind of back locked in, and they needed that.
Okay, here's the update we have on George Bello straight from the dressing room, and if we get more while we're still on the air, we'll pass it along to you. George Bello is being evaluated for a head injury and has been taken to hospital. That's basically what we assume. And
that was the concern, and it's something that I don't ever want to jump to that conclusion because it's very difficult to tell, and we don't know. We didn't really get a replay of was there head-to-head contact or was it when he hit the ground. We don't know. But everything that you could see kind of pointed you in that direction, and these are difficult. These are very, very difficult. You never know what you're actually in for at this stage.
These are not to be considered official stats. In fact, I know they're inaccurate.
No, they're completely inaccurate.
Because Atlanta United had 4 shots at halftime and are shown with a total of 4, which would be awfully difficult to do, scoring 2 goals on no shots.
A little bit.
So we don't really have official stats. I think what I would tell you is this, and we're going to have the highlights in the next segment. Atlanta United had match control today.
Yes.
And for a team that wants to play a little bit faster but maintain organization in 2020, I think, you know, for the most part, as you've said, Jason, we saw signs of it today, but this is still a team in the midst of a training camp, a team that has some continuity and chemistry issues to work out, and now the question is, can they get that worked down in the span of 10 days before they go down to Honduras a week from Tuesday?
Well, I think the expectation that this team is playing its top soccer in February in Honduras is unfair. It's going to take more time than that. But what I liked was even with the second group, you saw a team that found a way to get it done. You want to play where you control the match. You want to control the possession. You want to limit the opportunities. Atlanta United did all that. But as the first half went on, the game got a little sloppier because Atlanta had to speed it up and change the pace a little bit to try to create more. Now, that meant that they nearly conceded some things, but they handled it well. You're going to have to find that. If you can control it and take care of business and not limit or not give up anything risky, good. If you have to go for it, this team showed a little bit of that today, that they can fight and get a result.
You said in halftime, the players that really stood out to you in the first half were George Campbell and Anton Walks. Walks playing left wing back today. George Campbell looking very poised and composed as an 18-year-old center back. Let me ask you the same question now for the second half, because I thought we saw some really good things, obviously from Joseto getting the goal. Mulroney, Tyler Wolf, who really stood out to you?
Tyler Wolf. Tyler Wolf was outstanding as an academy player, because not just because he's a good soccer player, because he's a smart soccer player. And that's usually the part that takes more time to develop. Good runs off the ball, good awareness, good combination with his teammates. Really good from Wolf. I thought Philip Goodrum was really good as well. Nielsen was a little shaky at first, but I think he kind of found the pace of the game a little bit. Some players that maybe we didn't know how much they would contribute in 2020 stood up and said they have to be accounted for.
And I think Mo Adams fits in that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's a 3-2 win for Atlanta United over Birmingham Legion, a stoppage time winner by Mateus Joseto, and Atlanta United now 3-0-1 in preseason matches with one more to go Tuesday night in Guadalajara. We'll take this break. We'll come back. We'll have the highlights after this. And don't forget, send us your comments and your questions at Mike Conti 929. and at Longshoe. We'll get to all of that coming up next on the full-time report from Birmingham here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of today, I think we decided we were not going to do music for preseason full-time reports, and then we thought, well, you know what, why not?
Yes.
You know, Atlanta United winners today, 3-2 over Birmingham Legion.
Well, we had to break this one in, too.
Well, and if you watched on the stream, or if you were in attendance here in Birmingham, you have gotten your first look at the new Legends kits, which are partial homage to the 25th anniversary of Major League Soccer, but also this will be the new alternate kit for Atlanta United for, I think, the next 2 years at
least.
And it's solid gold. It is solid gold on white, and there's not a lot of contrast between the gold and white, and that's something we're going to learn to adapt to over the next couple weeks. Learn what some of these new players look like. I thought they looked sharp.
Yeah, they look good.
I like the font, too.
Yes.
The new numbers and letter font.
It's really not quite all gold everything, but it's pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's all gold, a little white.
Trinidad James signed off on it. He was there in New York when they were unveiled.
He was the one who modeled the kit when it was unveiled earlier this week. Okay, obviously a lot happened, a lot of highlights. Again, the only news we have on George Bello right now is that he has been taken to hospital for an evaluation of a head injury. And like I said during the broadcast, we are very fortunate here in Birmingham. The University of Alabama, Birmingham, has a very large medical facility within really walking distance of here. We're looking out the window right now, and we can see it. So hopefully George is getting the best medical care possible. Frank DeBoer said that he took a blow to the back of his head and that he likely won't travel with the team to Mexico, and I believe they depart tomorrow for Guadalajara for 3 days of training.
It makes sense because of the way the fall happened. From people that we've talked to, who've had a couple looks at it, there wasn't initial head-to-head contact at the header where Bello went up and won the header. There was a collision, and when he hit the ground, he couldn't catch himself the way he collided in the air.
All right, well, that is the unfortunate headline that comes out of this match, but we also had a ton of goals. We had a wild finish. We had some controversies on the two final goals of this match. Let's go through all the highlights now if you're just coming in and joining us. Atlanta United, their first group, and again, they started in a 3-5-2. So if you missed it at the outset, they started in a 3-5-2. The three center backs were Miles Robinson, George Campbell, who played phenomenally well, and Franco Escobar. Your wingbacks were Brooks Lennon on the right and Anton Walks on the left. You had a midfield of Jeff Lorenowitz along with Pitti Martinez and Ezekiel Barco, and obviously you had Joseph Martinez up top. So that's how they started in this match. That group had total control in the first half and finally broke through in the 44th minute with this goal. Harmless cross, though, and it'll be controlled by Brooks Lennon for Atlanta United on the far touchline, and he will clear up to Pitti. Pitti in stride now on a 2-on-5, 3-on-5 for Atlanta United. Pitti able to create space, comes straight down the middle. A man falls, and it rolls right to Barco in the box, who takes a touch, shot, score! Atlanta United on a 4-on-5 break, but Mikey Lopez lost his footing, and that left Ezekiel Barco all alone on the goalkeeper to give Atlanta United the 1-0 lead.
Pitti Martinez with a great run. It started with a good ball from Brooks Lennon, but it really started all the way back in the defensive third with George Campbell making a strong defensive play and the ball shifting from the left to the right. Good break from Atlanta, and Ezekiel Barco buries it.
Frank DeBoer then rotated his entire team, save one exception at halftime. George Campbell stayed in. Everyone else was replaced, and it was one of the new entries, Lawrence Weick, that gave up a penalty just 2 minutes into the second half, putting Nico Brett, the starter for Birmingham, up to the spot against Brandon Moore, who was the backup keeper for Atlanta United today, and here was the penalty. Cromwell, the 25-year-old Ghanaian who's on loan from Dreams FC of Ghana, throws it into the near corner. The ball poked up in the air, and George Campbell can't control it. Rolls to the penalty spot. A penalty given to Birmingham. Falling down was Nico Brett in the area, and they're going to call a penalty on Atlanta United. Action at the goal to our left in the 48th minute. Brett up to the ball, strikes it, and scores. 1-1 at that point. It was a fair penalty call and a well-taken penalty.
Yeah,
Wyke
was just a little over-exuberant in the tackle. Got the ball, but he went through the player to get there. I think the call was good.
But Atlanta United persisted, and 20 minutes later, they earned a penalty, and it was Tyler Wolfe who had one of the most impactful second halves of anyone on the pitch for Atlanta United, earning the penalty to put Adam John at the spot. Now Josetto to strike this out of the near corner. Atlanta attacking the goal to our right. Short corner to the near side of the box. Taking a touch. Wolf taken down in the box. Penalty! Tyler Wolf, the 16-year-old from Braselton, draws a penalty. And Atlanta United will go to the spot with a chance to retake the lead. Action at the goal to our right. John up to the ball. Strikes it and scores! Adam John gives Atlanta United the 2-1 lead in the 68th minute.
It doesn't always work out this way, but sometimes you see a son play a whole lot like their father. Tyler Wolf has so many characteristics of his dad, Josh Wolf. The movement and just the soccer IQ that he has at his age, it's incredibly impressive.
Josh Wolf, one of my favorite U.S. men's national teamers of all time. So Atlanta United leading 2-1 as we go into the 70th minute. Then we have the very, very scary situation with George Bello, who was stretchered off the pitch, immobilized on a back brace, his head and neck immobilized, and again he's been taken to hospital for further evaluation. If we get anything more on that, we will let you know. With that in the forefront of everyone's mind, they resume play, and a moment or two after they do that, a controversial goal scored by Rudolf Mensah of Birmingham. Here is Josetto out of the near corner, goal to our right, sending it to the penalty spot. And it's shouldered out of danger by Birmingham. It's going to bounce right in front of Luis Fernando, who flicks it back now to Tyler Wolf. And Wolf is able to win the ball and poke it up to Josetto. Mateus Josetto. And then it's given away by Fernando. And sent back the other way. And in behind everyone on a breakaway now is Rudolf Mensah, who's able to chip it in for a goal. The flag stayed down. And Birmingham has leveled it here in the 80th minute.
I have no idea how the flag stayed down. I don't know. It didn't really make any sense.
The only way it could have is if the play started in their own end, but it didn't look like it.
No, the run started from the attacking half. It appeared. I don't know. That also happened pretty soon after the Bello injury and after Atlanta shifted to a four-man back line after playing three center backs for the whole match. You had the team look very disjointed there for a while for multiple reasons.
So after Atlanta United gave up that equalizer, 10 minutes plus 7 of stoppage time to play, and I have to tell you, Atlanta United, you used the term professional pride. They showed a lot of professional pride in trying to chase down a game winner. The supporters in full throat on the stand on the far side of the pitch, furthest away from us, and they get the winner in stoppage time in a moment of brilliance by Mateus Rosetto. Rometty in the middle third cuts it back to the kickoff spot now for Nilsson. 2-2 the score. It is Wyke again. Wyke playing it down the right wing to Mulroney. Mulroney in the middle to Josetto. Return to Mulroney. Mulroney dribbling parallel to goal. Over to Mo Adams now coming forward. Oh, good ball ahead to Josetto, who is onside. Takes a touch of the penalty spot. A shot! Score! I'll take some more of that this year. What a brilliant play by Mateus Josetto! And Atlanta United might have the game winner in stoppage time.
Break out the Caprinas on that one. That was an amazing just. That's the ability that you're bringing in. You're talking about a player who has technical ability like maybe no one in the squad. It's that good. And there was a lot of shout of him being offside in that. It didn't appear so. If so, it was very close. But his ability to pull it back, put the defender on the ground, use another defender as a screen, basically, for the goalkeeper, and just pass it into the goal.
And take nothing away from Josetto, but a name that you heard a lot in the build-up there, and a name that you heard a lot in the build-up of great chances in the second half is Jake Mulroney.
Jake Mulroney, Mo Adams, there were quite a few players who you know, we've looked at is who's going to be those supporting roles this season. And Mulroney on both sides of the pitch. Today was on the right. We've seen him on the left in preseason so far. Adams is a guy who came in and I thought gave the midfield a lot of bite, but also stepped forward really well in possession.
For all the concerns, right or wrong, about Atlanta United and depth this year, look at some of the players you had in that second group today. Hosato, obviously, who scored the goal. Mulroney. Castillo, who we did not even see today. Wolf might be a factor now for the first team. It's certainly very enticing for ATL UTD.
Wolf is going to be a player that you're going to make a decision on a homegrown deal on him. And the way he's looked in preseason so far, the reviews we had heard before, the performance today, he's putting himself in that window.
And that's to say nothing of Eric Rometty and Adam John. And really, it's so unfortunate because George Bello was playing so well prior to the injury. So for all the concern about depth, and I'm not downplaying those concerns because they come from a place of passion among the 17s, and that's a good thing. We saw examples today that this team is going to put out a robust 17 for every competition.
You have replaced a lot of numbers with players who play a lot of roles. And you have a little bit smaller group at the moment in terms of a roster, but it's a much more versatile group. When you dig into that depth chart, you've got a lot of guys who can cover a lot of positions.
Okay, so Atlanta United, the 3-2 win over Birmingham Legion. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will take your questions and your comments on Twitter, so go ahead and send them in. We've gotten some good ones so far, but keep them coming. At Mike Conti, 929, and at Longshoe. And the full-time report will continue from Birmingham in a moment here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Championship side, Birmingham Legion 3-2 in a preseason friendly this evening. Mike Conti, Jason Longshore in the full-time report. Tradition that never gets old.
The drive-by truckers.
Yeah.
We don't get a chance to play Birmingham music during the season, so we have to take full advantage.
Maybe in the Open Cup.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe one of these times we won't have to play Charleston in the Open Cup and we can play Birmingham Legion. That great crowd here today, 67,000 or 6,722. Which is an all-time club record. And they, I don't know how they got everyone into this facility here at BBVA Stadium, but they did a terrific job. The pitch was in great condition. George Bello was obviously very well attended to when he got hurt. They did a really good job here at the facility today, and we appreciate their hospitality. Let's get to your questions and comments on Twitter now, starting with Patrick Delaney. He says, Hosato is going to be a fan favorite. How do you see his role on the team? Who would he pair best with?
That's going to be the question, is in the 3-4-2-1, 3-4-3, whatever you want to call it, that Atlanta's played a lot in preseason, I think he would pair with one of the central midfielders. So is it Hyndman? Is it Rometty? Is it Mo Adams? Is it Jeff Lorenowitz? Who is it going to be that he has the best connection with? Because when he came on, he was playing in one of the more attacking roles, and that's going to be Pitti and Barco and Joseph with the first choice 11. So can Hosato become a player who plays a little bit deeper, can do more defensive work, but can still step into those attacking roles? Or do you see maybe the team shift into a different shape to try to accommodate all of them?
Dustin Branham says Barco, Hosato, and Wolf looked the most impressive to him. He thought Jeff Lorenowitz struggled.
Yeah, I thought Jeff Lorenowitz struggled with the pace of the game. And if I remember back to the early last season, we kind of saw that happen a little bit too then. You know, he's a veteran player, he's a smart player, but there were a couple times where he had unnecessary giveaways in the middle of the field. And that's going to have to be something that's cleaned up, because that part of the field in this kind of shape, it can be open if you concede there, if you give the ball away there. And there's a lot of competition for playing time in those spots.
Eric Englert says George Campbell impressed today, and we agree with that. He also felt the attack looked like it was congealing, but still maybe just a little bit slow.
Yeah, I mean, you go back through the preseason comments from Frank DeBoer, and he's talked about focusing on the defensive shape, getting the defending right first, and the patterns are emerging in the attack. I think they're still emerging. You have talented players in Pitti and Barco and Joseph, and they're going to be able to figure a lot out on their own. But when you get that help from Brooks Lennon, from Anton Walks today on the left side, Jake Mulroney sometimes on the left side, George Bello, Edgar Castillo, when you get that help from them, that's when it all starts to really click.
Two-prong comment from Ed Million. He says the three amigos up front looked really, really good. Pitti definitely looks more comfortable, and Barco is playing with swagger and confidence. He says the biggest thing he saw lacking was some sharpness out of the back. Miles and company still working on not having Nagby as an outlet, but Mo Adams and Josetto both gave them that in the second half.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much missing Nagby as the outlet. I think it's just making more than the simple pass. I think it's more than just the sideways pass. And we saw George Campbell in the second half drive forward on the dribble. We've seen Robinson do that. When it's not on, they have to make that decision to be impactful at times. Sometimes it's smart to play the safe ball. But when it's not, when you can actually create something, the center backs, whether it's Campbell, whether it's Robinson, whether it's Escobar, they have to be able to do that to push this team forward.
Joe Johnstone says, loving the upside of George Campbell. Can't wait until he gets more comfortable. He looked good today. Passing still seemed a little anxious, which showed in his passing both in timing and pace. I think the thing that a lot of us don't remember about George Campbell is the guy is only 18 years old. He was signed to his homegrown contract on New Year's Day officially. We knew it was coming, but it was formalized on New Year's Day. Someone who has been in the academy with Tony Annan and that coaching staff since 2016, and someone that you pointed out to me when we were watching him in pregame, his body is probably not in its final form yet.
He's grown a lot. He's grown a lot in the couple of years that I've seen him. I remember calling a Generation Adidas match against, I think it was New England, and Campbell came in, and I hadn't seen him play as a center back. I hadn't seen him play yet at all because, you know, we've talked to Tony Annan about this. George Campbell was a guy who was towards the bottom of those rosters when the academy first started, and he kept grinding, and he kept fighting, and he kept working, and it was a tournament in Mexico where there was an opportunity to play center back, and Campbell hadn't played center back, and he stepped in and turned some heads. And since then, he's been the center back who's been on the rise, and I think he's the greatest advertisement for the development of this academy.
Nando De Villa, do you think the first half lineup will be what we use for the first team lineup, and what changes would you make for the first CONCACAF Champions League match a week from Tuesday?
Fernando Meza will be in the lineup for that. He'll step in for George Campbell. I think the left side is still up for grabs. Anton Walk showed well at times today. He was also a little shaky as the half went on. Edgar Castillo, I think, is the solid option, especially defensively. He's the best defender out of the group out wide. Walks is a good defender, but maybe not as good of a defender in a wing-back role. Castillo is. But for speed, Mulroney would be the guy. And I'm not expecting Bello to be in that conversation
not yet, until we know. Right.
So I think you have options. Josetto is going to push into this lineup as well, and I don't know where it fits just yet. There's a lot for Frank DeBoer to sort out with a lot of talented options.
All right, let me piggyback off that for a second. You still have a senior roster spot open. Mm-hmm. You saw Lawrence Wyke a good bit today. Tyler Wolf. Will Riley has been in camp with the senior team. Philip Goodrum, I thought, looked pretty good today when he played, and Patrick Nielsen is someone who you pointed out as well. You like having the flexibility of that open senior roster spot, but what do you see now for the future for some of those players who might be in the ATL-UTD2 mix?
Well, I think, too, you got to remember you've got supplemental and reserve roster spots, and those guys are going to be pushing for those spots. If it's a homegrown signing like a Wolf, if it's an Atlanta United 2 player like Wyke coming up, I think Goodrum will benefit from the time with Atlanta United 2. He signed that contract already. Patrick Nielsen hasn't signed a contract yet. He's still technically on trial. Where does he sign? I think he will sign, but I don't know if it's a first-team deal and he plays a lot for Atlanta United 2 or if it's an Atlanta United 2 deal. I think there's a lot of value in some of those players becoming first-team players. I think Wyke is one that has a lot of potential. He's a very versatile player to fill some of those deeper roster spots. I think the senior roster spot that's open, I wouldn't be surprised if this team holds on to it until the summer, because now you have a CBA that's done, and now you know what you're working with, and that's where the shopping can really get intense.
Remember 2018, that championship season. They kept that slot spare. Mm-hmm. that opened up with Carlos Carmona, and they kept that slot spare, and then wouldn't you know it, they needed that spot with Darlington Nagbe getting injured, and in comes Eric Rometty, who was a big part of that MLS Cup run, scored the first ever playoff goal in Atlanta United history, and there can be a lot of value to having an open senior roster spot in the summer.
You don't have to go get anybody right now. I think you've got pretty much everything covered. You've got competition at a lot of spots. Wait and see what happens.
And I think the club has been pretty clear that they're not going to make a move just for the sake of making a
right.
move.
Now, one position that Frank DeBoer has mentioned multiple times that he would like to see a replacement for is on the right wing. Now, right wing, and that's what he said to our friend Doug Robertson from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. This is a case where, is that going to be a senior roster spot? Is that something you're going to need to replace right now? Because we've seen the team play in a 3-4-3, 3-4-2-1, where you're not really playing with a true right winger. So it would give you a different look. And it might give you a way to get Joseto, Barco, Pitti, Joseph on the field together, but that player might not be available to you right now. You might want to wait a little bit. You might want to scout a little bit more.
All right, so this preseason that is now more than a month old, and this exhibition slate that is several weeks old is drawing close to its conclusion, which comes Tuesday night in Guadalajara. We'll look ahead to that. And our next radio broadcast will be a week from Tuesday as Champions League play opens up in Honduras against Motagua. That will be our focus when we come back on the full-time report as Atlanta United defeats Birmingham Legion 3-2 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the first of, how many of these do you think we're going to have this year? 50? When it's all said and done?
I hope so, because that's a long season and a good season, and there's a lot of deep runs and competitions if we get that.
We're going to have all the CONCACAF Champions League matches. We're going to have all the MLS matches, and hopefully a playoff run in there as well as Atlanta United gets everything going a week from Tuesday down in Motagua. But first, I think this is a good idea to go to Guadalajara for 3 days and just get into that CONCACAF mindset. And someone even pointed out to me the other day on Twitter an element that I didn't think of. There's elevation in play in San Pedro Sula, and there's certainly elevation in play in Guadalajara. And when Atlanta United plays Leones Negros on Tuesday night, they will be in match week mode, because from there it will be 1 week to opening CONCACAF Champions League play down in Honduras.
That's what's perfect about it, is you're heading to Guadalajara, you get international travel that you get accustomed to, you play a week before, so you start to get into a match rhythm. That's what this team needs. And I think this preseason has been set up differently to prepare for that. You know, it hasn't been a lot of games. Like, you see some MLS teams playing only other MLS teams. You know, you're coming over here to Birmingham and playing a USL Championship team, but in their building with the fans, and you have to deal with that. You have the match with Elfsborg from Sweden, who comes in with a point to prove. They're trying to show that they can play at this level. Leones Negros is a second division team in Mexico, but a team that has been in the first division in recent years and a team with a point to prove. They also have done this with Atlanta United, and it's actually very important that Atlanta United has been picked as part of this match. It is to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Estadio Jalisco in Guadalajara, which has hosted World Cup games in two different World Cups, and is one of the great spectacular venues of Mexico. And this is a very important match to Leones Negros and to the building.
Yeah, it's almost an honor.
Yeah, it is.
To be selected for it. And Manny Tejeda, the team manager for Atlanta United, did a great job booking that fixture. So that's going to be Tuesday night. It's going to be a 9 p.m. Eastern time kickoff. And again, there will be a stream on atlutd.com/live, a video stream. There will be no radio coverage. Then, a week from Tuesday, there will be radio coverage in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. Motagua not playing in their home stadium, playing in the National Stadium due to renovations in their home park, hosting Atlanta United in the first leg of a two-leg CONCACAF Champions League series. Now, Atlanta United, this time last year, went down to Herediano for their opening leg, and they had a rough night. It was a 3-1 loss, but they did get an important road goal, and they were able to go through on aggregate after winning big in the second leg at Kennesaw. They might not have been fully ready going into Herediano. Do you think, as it stands right now, based on what we saw tonight, Atlanta United is ready for Motagua?
I think they're more ready. I think they're far more ready than they were for Herediano. You look back at last year's preseason and you compare to this year's preseason. The team is controlling matches more. I think they have a much better idea of the way they want to play. And I think just the structure of the preseason has helped them prepare for that more. Now, the opponent's a little different in that Herediano came in after winning a championship and had a slow start to the season after a managerial change. The match in Costa Rica that Atlanta United played, it was kind of the last rallying cry for the manager to try to keep his job, and he kept it for another week, and then when he lost in Atlanta, that was it for him. So Motagua didn't have a good season last season, but they've come out, hit the ground running in Honduras, and they just had a huge win over last year's champion, Olimpia. They're playing very well, but they will also play two league matches after Atlanta United plays Leones Negros, and they will play a league match in between the two legs because they're right in the middle of their season.
Some people think that's an advantage, though.
It can be, but this is it's not like it's you've played four games to get ready for it. It's going to be fatigue at that point because those are going to be games 6, 7, and 8 in the season for Motagua. It starts to add up.
No doubt about it. So that match will be on the radio, 9:30 for the Five Stripes countdown and 10 o'clock Eastern time, the kickoff, a week from Tuesday, February 18th. I think that's what it is.
Correct.
I'm starting to get a little punchy. I don't know what day of the week it is today. February 18th, Tuesday night, 10 p.m. kickoff, 9:30 for the Five Stripes countdown on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, the return leg, the following Tuesday at Kennesaw, and then that subsequent Saturday, February 29th, our first MLS broadcast in Nashville, a full weekend planned up in Nashville, and we hope you'll be able to join us for that. Lots of fun things which we'll be able to announce. Also want to remind you that Jason and Jimmy and Joe Patrick will have stoppage time for you again this Wednesday, 2 o'clock on the 92.9 The Game Facebook page. I think that's just about all we can say for this one tonight. A wild match. George Bello injured, perhaps seriously. We will wait for more word on his head injury and his status. But Atlanta United with a stoppage time winner from Mateus Hosetto wins 3-2 over Birmingham Legion. And I'm just glad we're doing games again. It's been a long offseason.
Glad to be back.
Glad to be back. And now this is our life for the next 10 months. Eric Davis, our engineer, did an awesome job today getting us set up here in Birmingham. Thank you as well to the staff here in Birmingham for finding space in their facility for us. It's been a very, very fun afternoon for soccer in the South, and we will see you a week from Tuesday on the radio for Atlanta United and Motagua here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.